So you're saying that the banks control the notes?
Yes.
And the government controls the coins?
Correct.
Yeah. So what do you mean by that? Ekonene.
Ekonene.
Episode 311. Tukisema like, subscribe, hit the notification button, tell a friend to tell a friend. Na leo nataka kukuintroduce to mse flani wa nguvu kabisa. Anatoka masai za New Jerusalem ama New Jersey. Mse mwenyana itua Joy. Ushamuona kwa streets za Nairobi akifanya ma stunt kadha. So, Joy, niaje?
Naje.
Niaje, supposed to be poor. But
poor.
I guess you've been...
Habari yako.
Yes, you've been in Kenya, but mostly in Mombasa, more than Nairobi, or?
Yes.
Okay, because Niaje is more of a Nairobi thing than Mombasa. So in Mombasa, how are they saying hi to you?
Mambo.
Oh, Mambo. Okay, that's interesting, man. But that's such a tourist, touristic hello. Like Kenyans don't tell each other Mambo, unless we say Mambo, but more in Sheng. That's more in Sheng than, yeah. Sheng is the street language. Yeah. So how long have you been in Kenya?
I came on Valentine's of 2023.
Okay.
Because I'm a romantic.
Yeah. Okay. So even before we talk about, I've been seeing a few of your videos on TikTok and the stunts that you do. Let me just remind people, ingenilinebet.com, tumie promo code Ekonene, utabaki umepata 100% signing bonus. Na usisahau pia vile Musa Maga, when the fun stops, stop. Yeah, so inamaanisha ukianza ku lose kiasi, usi end up juu umejiumiza roho jo. Sisi watu wa Arsenal, tushaumia roho ya kutosha. So make sure umeingia linebet.com, promo code Ekonene. Alafu, so tukiendelea, vile nimesema niko na Joy, na kosha ache kile video yake akiwa kwa streets akituchocha na simu. So acha nimuulize. So there's this one video that you did where you're walking around with your phone and you're like, this is an iPhone 15 Pro Max. I dare anyone. You do know Nairobi is dangerous, yes? It can get ugly super fast, yeah?
Yes, but most major cities, you know, there's always that element.
Mm.
You know, you take a chance. Otherwise, you don't go to big cities, right?
Mm. Yeah. So, are phones snatched in like New York, New Jersey? Do people snatch phones? No?
Well, people in the U.S. know better that stealing an iPhone makes no sense because you can't use it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And before, at least in West Africa, because I've been to, I would stay in the small country called Cape Verde.
Okay.
In West Africa for 4 years. Mm-hmm. I would stay like 6 months, go back 6 months. And people would still steal the iPhones at like 3-4 years ago because you could still sell it for parts.
Yeah.
But now it's completely useless because the new iPhones, even if the screen breaks and you have a stolen phone, it'll reject the new screen.
Oh, okay. I didn't know
Apple,
that.
Once you go online, Apple will detect that screen does not belong with that with the iPhone.
Mm.
So you have to buy the screen, the camera, whatever the part may be, directly from Apple.
Yeah.
So that, like that, it completely prevents even from stealing an iPhone for the sake of selling it for parts.
Okay.
Like now it's completely useless.
That's from iPhone what? iPhone 15 or?
iPhone 14, I think.
14,
but definitely
okay.
15.
Yeah.
And besides that, I have coverage. Mm. So if somebody was to steal my phone, I would pay $150. They would give me a brand new, the exact same phone.
Okay. Because I found that to be interesting. But what's the reason you think no one dared to touch your phone that day? Well, like you're walking around with it. I want to see your reason and then I can tell you like the real Nairobi reason.
Well, for one, I mean, if I was in somebody else's shoes, whether I'm Kenyan or not, I would think that's just too easy.
Yeah, okay.
Right?
So there's that, yeah.
So I would be suspicious about that, one. Two, I don't know if most Kenyans know this, but stealing an iPhone is like worthless, so
they still don't know this. Like, people still steal iPhones, and they're like, why are you stealing?
Right, because once I report it stolen, the moment you turn on the iPhone, I get an email, I get a signal, where the location of the iPhone.
Yeah, so, find my iPhone. But the Kenya police will still want something from you.
Of course. That's the main thing that I don't like about Kenya is that.
I saw the video you did about things that suck in Kenya. Because the reason that I think no one took your phone was the street that you are on. Were you on Luthuli? Where were you?
The first time I was just doing a regular video in CBD, and somebody, a few people actually on the comment section, like, watch, your phone is going to get stolen. So that's when I replied to that. And then I said it out loud in CBD.
Yeah.
And then they were like, oh, go to Gizoni. Dandara. Huh? River Road and Acre Road around 7 o'clock. Yeah. They also told me Githarai, Kayoli.
Yeah.
But I looked at the map and I was like, I'm not going to go all the way down there to prove a point. You understand?
Yeah.
But where I, you know, River Road is not that far. I'll drive there. Mm. I'll make an effort to go there at 7 o'clock.
Yeah.
They were like, go there at night around 7 o'clock. So I did.
Mm.
And then I did that. And, same, nothing happened, of course.
Okay.
And, you know, then I started getting comments. Oh, you went at the wrong time. You should have gone during the day. So I'm like, you know what?
Because I think, because the main thing is, first of all, you're live. So if you're live, people are afraid, like, this guy, this is too easy, as you said. Then the second thing is the mob justice. Like, Kenyans beat up thieves. So, like, if you try and steal, I don't know if you've watched the video. There's a Kenyan who went into
No. But I've seen last year there was a couple, a Kenyan couple. It was a boyfriend, girlfriend.
Yeah.
And some guy tried to steal the. And he just took off.
Yeah.
And you could see people, like, where is he? Where, like, trying to help the couple to try to find the guy so they could kick his ass. Beat him up, I mean.
Yeah, so if you're caught.
So I do believe it.
Yes, if you're caught, like, you get a beating. Like, it's so bad. Like, the mob justice in Kenya, it's another thing that I don't love about Kenya. I know it keeps the streets safe, but the amount of violence that I've seen sometimes just because of a phone, they're like, nah, man. Let's not do this. Let's
I haven't seen, but a little mob justice is good.
Okay. Yeah, I understand. Like, it keeps the streets safe.
Yeah. Otherwise, especially with the police not, you know, working efficiently here in Kenya, there'd be a lot of crime.
Yeah. So you grew up in Jersey or you just moved to Jersey?
I was born and raised in Newark, New Jersey, straight up in the ghetto.
Okay. Oh, Newark.
Yeah.
The land of Redman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fugees, Diane Warwick, Gloria Gaynor, list goes on, Naughty by Nature.
Yeah.
Whitney so now, Houston.
Gloria, the funny thing about her is I never knew about her before.
I Will Survive this the song. Song. I Will Survive.
Yes. But yes. I didn't even know about her before I had the song. I don't know if you know this group, Gangsta. Gangsta was from, they were from Boston. Okay. Like the rapper Guru, Boston, then. Did you know that rapper?
No.
No. So they had this song that was called The Militia. And this guy, it featured a certain rapper called Freddie Fox. So Freddie Fox would say, like, Gloria Gaynor, motherfuckers, I will survive. I was like, who the fuck is this? Then that's when I figured out that song. Yeah, and it's a beautiful song. It's a beautiful song. Yeah.
It's the biggest disco song of all time.
Yeah. It was
actually I got accepted to the same high school that she graduated from, Arts High School in Newark.
Okay. And it was interesting, like, before we started, you're talking about having grandkids. So how old are your grandkids?
One is about to turn 2. The other one is about to turn 1.
Okay. That's interesting, because you yourself, you just look like a young guy, man. Like, why? When did you start, like, your fitness journey?
Well, I think I get it partly from my father, because he was always, you know, he always had a nice, he was always, like, sports. Even my grandfather, like.
Yeah.
Most people now the competition has forgotten, but it was really big. Like, even 30 years ago, I would see in the news every year they would have the competition swimming between France and England. My grandfather did that.
Okay.
He actually swam from France to England.
Oh, damn. Like,
it was like a big sporting event. I don't know what happened. And then, like, in the 90s, I stopped seeing, like, coverage for it. I don't know what happened, but it was, like, really big. Like, it was a global thing that people would actually watch.
Okay. So your grandfather was he like,
he was also very, like, athletic. I got it from my father.
Yeah. Was he also, like, European?
So it's part
or genetic. Just American? Was he like European or American?
Well, my grandparents, they're from Portugal.
Oh, they're from Portugal. Okay.
But, you know, in case you don't know, Portuguese, they have the most African genetics out of all European countries.
Okay, okay.
They have about roughly 1 to 2% black.
Yeah.
Around 8 to 10% Arab.
And yeah.
So all African, including black and Arabic, North African, it's the average Portuguese person has over 10% African blood. So.
Oh, okay, okay. That's interesting. And yeah, so that means you believe the goat is Cristiano?
Absolutely. Yeah. I would have a debate maybe 3 years ago. But, you know, when you make these kind of debates, at least for me, you also got to look at longevity.
Okay, yeah.
He's about to break the Saudi League record of most goals scored in the season.
And that's some ridiculous stuff, man.
Yeah, 39 years old. That's absolutely amazing.
Yeah, yeah. He does some really ridiculous stuff. And how much do you follow the American pop culture?
Well, that's the kind of music I like. But, you know, growing up in the ghetto, you get tired of always listening. Everybody's listening to rap. Mm. It's like, and besides, I got to, you know, go with my Latino roots. So I'd be listening a lot to, I don't know if you know any Latino artists like Romeo Santos and
what about Daddy like Yankee, Latino rap?
Nicki Minaj, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Aventura.
Yeah, because at some point I was really, really big Fat Joe fan. I used to listen to, because I used to
but
feel
still
like
that was rap.
Yeah,
he's Puerto Rican, he's Latino, but at the end of the day, that was rap.
Yeah. So you said you're not more on that gangster shit. Well, the reason why I was asking you,
when I'm home, I don't need to turn on the radio because there's always people playing.
Yeah,
and their cars, but you know, so. Yeah.
No, the reason I was asking was because of the video. I don't know if you watched the video that came out on Friday night. It was about Didi, like the way the video came out of him, like assaulting his girlfriend. Did you watch it?
No, but he's been under criminal investigation for a lot of other things.
Yeah.
Allegedly, even
killing Tupac. Oh, some gangster
and
shit.
Biggie. And and Biggie was my favorite rapper. He is, I think, to me.
Yeah.
I don't know why Tupac overshadows him so much, but whatever. Anyway.
Yeah.
But, even Justin Bieber, allegedly, he messed around when he was a little kid.
Mm. Oh, okay. I've not heard that.
Yeah.
That's messed up, man. That's really messed up. Oh, okay, okay.
I saw a video of him walking into an event with a lot of celebrities and nobody even touched his hand. Everybody turned their back on him.
Yeah, man, that's crazy. And where do you think that this, remember, like, I think we were talking off air and we were talking of the fact that you've been attacked once, someone tried to kill you, and you never, you couldn't report it because no snitching.
Right, no snitching.
Why do you think that culture is encouraged? Because that culture encourages, like, dishonest behavior.
Well, before, you have to know a little bit about the demographics in the U.S. to understand a little bit. So, most people forget the fact that 100 years ago, 60 years ago, the people that would be mingled the most with African Americans were Italians.
Yeah.
And so they had the mafia. So that culture infiltrated and it still continues to this day in the ghetto. Now the Italians moved out, they went to the suburbs and they assimilated with white people, Caucasian.
Yeah.
But most people forget that Italians were extremely, even my grandparents, extremely discriminated against because, you know, we tan easy. We got darker features. We look different. We're Catholic, whereas most whites, they're Protestant. They got blonde hair, blue eyes. They're much whiter in tone. So Italians, you know, they got a lot of discrimination. They would, like 100 years ago, it was not uncommon to see, we don't hire Italians or blacks.
Yeah,
it wasn't just blacks. So you know, the whole mob culture of not snitching. Mafia, you don't snitch.
Yes.
You snitch, you die.
Yeah.
So a lot of Italian mafia influence still remains in the ghetto today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Because...
And now the Latinos overtook the Italians as the ones that, if there are any people that live with African Americans in black neighborhoods, will be Latinos.
Okay. So how's your mixture going there? Because you've talked of Latinos, Portuguese, Italians. So what's...
Well, you? All my grandparents are Portuguese.
Oh, okay. And then who's Latino?
Well, if you search the technical term, and you gotta know how Google operates.
But okay.
If you just search, like, what Google first feeds you, it's not correct. It's anybody, an Hispanic is anybody that speaks Spanish or Portuguese.
Okay.
Like, how would you label 50? Brazil has 50% of the population of South America.
Yes.
How would you label Brazilians then? Besides Portuguese and Spanish, they both came from the same language, then diverged, but they both came from the same language. So it's anybody that speaks Spanish or Portuguese. So even when I went to college, I could have gotten scholarships because technically I was a Latino.
Oh, okay.
In the US. I'm labeled as a Latino.
Because I feel like one of the biggest cultural differences between Kenya and the US, for example, would be snitching. Like, for us, snitching, like, if you commit a crime, you try to kill someone, if people don't beat you up, they arresting you and taking you to the police. But I understand the whole thing, but I feel like it's
the mentality is outdated. Like, in the 50s and before, 60s and before, I could understand, because chances are you would get killed.
Yeah.
But now, you know, things and habits and even laws take time to change with the times, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, so I'm traveling tonight to the US. I'm going to ATL. So I'll be in ATL. That's tomorrow, like on Monday. I'll be there. So a few things, like coming to Kenya. How's the experience? Because I'm nervous going to your side. Like, your side is sometimes full of shit.
Can I tell you something about ATL before you go?
Yeah.
Before I answer that? Let me say this. ATL. It is the best place to find a good-looking black woman.
Okay.
And if you're a decent-looking guy and you know how to dress, you don't even have to talk to them. They'll come up to you.
Okay.
And they will take care of you.
Okay. Well, you know, I'm African and married already. I know we don't walk around with this. So I hope when my wife is watching, he's not like, yo, I'm not going to look for. Yeah, but
no, I'm letting for everybody know. If you're tired of paying for females in Kenya,
yeah,
go to Atlanta. That is the best place where you will find a good-looking professional woman that will take care of a man. And I'm not kidding.
Okay. You've been taken care of?
Oh, yeah. Okay. When I go see my daughter in Atlanta, I don't even have to open my mouth. They come up to me. I'm not exaggerating.
How's that word pronounced? It's Atlanta.
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 Some people say Atlanta. I say Atlanta.
Some people say Atlanta. They don't even put the T's.
Right. I usually say Atlanta. I'm just doing it out of courtesy to you because I know you're Kenyan.
Yeah.
You, the audience is mostly Kenyan.
You
know what
I say? You how Atlanta. Do you pronounce it?
Atlanta.
Okay. So that's like, interesting.
Atlanta.
Yeah. Because, you know, like, we get a pronunciation from Europe.
Right, so the British.
Yeah, the British English. And even the Scottish. Like, I feel like Kenya is so close to the Scottish to a certain level where we pronounce every letter.
I think it also has to do with Swahili, because in Swahili, when you read something, it's very close to the actual alphabet sound. So if there's a G, you pronounce the G the way the G is supposed to be pronounced, right?
Yeah, we have that.
And if I may add about Swahili, and since we were talking about Latinos and Hispanic, y'all partially, y'all distant cousins of the Hispanic community, because there's 150 words in Swahili derived from Portuguese.
Okay. Yes. Like Meza,
Mesa, table. Leso.
Mm. Oh, Leso, okay.
Padre, Pestola, Bastola.
Mm.
Anything dealing with church, Batiza, stuff like
yeah,
that.
Okay, yeah. That's
even Nugali was brought by the Portuguese.
Mm.
Was introduced by the Portuguese.
Okay.
Pili Pili was brought by the Portuguese.
Ooh, Ugali.
Yes.
The Portuguese ate Ugali.
They would give it to the sailors because it was cheap and it would never go bad.
I know. I what I'm trying to understand is, because if it came from them, there has to be a certain form of Ugali in Portugal. Is there?
No, it was just for the Navy.
Mm.
But it stayed in Brazil a little bit, not as much as you guys. But, in Brazil, they do have dishes with Ugali, but they'll flavor it. They'll make soups made out of maize and stuff like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting. So, but the first time you had Ugali was here, Kenya, or?
Mm, yeah.
Okay. Because
I didn't even know. Then I just stumbled upon. I don't know. I wasn't searching for Ugali. I was searching something about Kenya, then history of Ugali. And I was like, oh, let me just click on it. And then I was like, oh. And then it gave the whole history of this webpage. And then I actually searched on Google. And it says right away, introduced in the 1600s by Portuguese sailors. And I was like, oh, now it makes sense because they would put it in the ships because it's cheap and it doesn't go bad.
Mm. Okay. Yeah. Because another a joke I liked that you made on TikTok was that joke about apologizing to a Kikuyu girl and you had a lot of
potatoes.
Yes,
I forgot the cabbages.
so how long did it take you to learn the stereotypes, those Kenyan stereotypes?
I don't do it because I don't do these things because I always ask where you're from.
Yeah.
Even in the U.S., I find it interesting knowing about genetics. I don't need to know all the science because I'm tired. I'm a chemical engineer, so I'm tired of science.
Okay, yeah.
But it's interesting to see, genetics and, that has an Ethiopian feature, that got a Cambodian feature, whatever it may be. So I always ask, what tribe are you, to see, just to have an idea. I just find it fascinating because to top it off, I'm in Africa, which is the most diverse genetically continent in the world. Most people think it's not Africa is the same. Africa, we do that. No. Africa is so diverse genetically. Yeah, you can't say Africans this, Africans that.
Yeah, I remember it's...
So I always ask about the stereotype. I really don't ask about the stereotypes. I ask, what tribe are you from? And then people from those conversations, I really don't care about the stereotypes.
Yeah.
From those conversations, then they'll be like, I've come up with my own stereotypes, like Luis and Luo's got the best matacos. You know what I mean? Kikuyu's got the prettiest faces. Kambas, for me, probably have the best overall package. I'm talking physical appearance only.
Yeah, I know. Have you been to Kisumu?
Yes.
Yeah, so I was telling you.
I went there when there were the riots. Mm.
And when the riots, okay.
Yeah, and I had a hard time. I had a hard time getting a Buddha Buddha that would drive me through the streets.
Okay.
And I went live on my YouTube channel because that to me is more interesting than going to a fancy restaurant. I like going to see places and see how people live day to day rather than going to Milan or whatever, some fancy place.
I understand.
I could have had way more followers and more likes if I posted every time I went to a fancy place, but I think that's so superficial and that's really not good content. But if I really wanted more followers, I could have had way more, probably double the followers if I posted every time I went to a place. You know what I mean? Or I bought my Nikes, or I bought my MacBook, or I bought my iPhone, my iPad Pro, I think that's tacky.
That's tacky.
And that's not good content.
For someone going to ATL, staying for 2 days, where would you advise me to go? ATL has the Mercedes
Stadium. Where in ATL are you staying?
The Mercedes Stadium is in ATL?
Yes.
Yes, it's a beautiful stadium. I'd want to see that.
It's a beautiful stadium.
Because you see the same thing we were saying.
Go to a basketball game if they have one. It's entertaining.
Mm.
It doesn't even matter who's playing. It's just an entertaining experience.
Yeah, but the Mercedes Stadium is soccer and American football. Yeah.
No, they got basketball.
Oh, okay.
It's two parts to it. There's the Mercedes Stadium, and there's the basketball arena, which is separate.
Yeah.
But you should go to a basketball game.
Okay, but I think right now the NBA right now, the playoffs, I don't think there's any ATL team left.
The Hawks. I think they're out.
Yeah, they're out. So that's out of there. So do you watch soccer, Coots?
I only watch when Portugal plays or Ronaldo.
Okay. Oh, okay. That makes sense. So yeah, so I was asking you, like, which sports should I check out? I brought up the Mercedes Stadium because I remember just watching it. There was once I was watching like a soccer game. That team, it's called Atlanta FC. And they were playing, and then the shot, like during halftime, the camera just panned into the whole stadium, and it just looked too beautiful. I don't think I've ever seen.
Oh, from the outside is
more like beautiful. It's like both from the outside and the inside, like just there. It's crazy. But yeah, so what would you advise, like, someone going to ATL? Where should you visit?
You're talking about at night or
during the day? At night, just something so that you can be like, I went to ATL.
Well, the area by Mercedes Stadium is near downtown Atlanta, so you know that whole area, and it's right next to where they had the Olympic Park, where they had the Summer Olympics in 1996. So even if there's no game there, you can still see the stadium, which is beautiful. CNN headquarters, I believe, is right there.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Propaganda Central, I call it. and the Olympic Park is, everything is in walking distance. Okay. So I would suggest that.
Okay, that makes sense. So you've just
said, but if you want to see the best twerkers, probably in the world, is in Atlanta. Like, you'll see some pole dancing. Like, I've seen some real good ones in Mombasa. Like I feel like giving them money because they really entertain me. Not even because of the body or anything, but I was like, wow, this girl actually really takes this as a job. Seriously, she's just not shaking her butt. Like, she really did. You could tell this girl practiced. I've seen a few in Mombasa. But Atlanta, you got a lot of competition with girls with nice bodies doing amazing stuff on poles. And it doesn't have to be because it has a sexual tone to it, but like the acrobatics that they do, the moves they do is like amazing. So yeah.
Okay.
You should definitely go. You ask anybody, what's the, I forget the name, there's two really big ones, strip clubs, and you should really go just to see how amazing these girls are in doing. They take it into an art form.
Yeah.
Like, for real.
Okay, because I know there's the crazy stuff. Like, there's this series, there's a TV series called what? It's called P-Valley. And, like, the first season, I used to see those girls doing some crazy stuff. And I'm like, if these are the actors doing this, what do the real people do? Like, the real people have to be on a certain crazy level.
Well, they have on set people that actually do it to train them.
Yeah, that train them. But now I'm trying to imagine, like, someone who just does that for their life. Like, that's all they do. Like, they must be really good at it. Yeah. And you say that CNN is the propaganda. So that means you're Republican? Because I know.
I am whoever is best for the U.S.
Okay. So who do you think is best right now? For the two old Mzees.
I know what Mzee is. Isn't Mzee already saying old? So you're saying old.
So the two old
dudes. You're old twice, right?
Yeah. The two. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. But we can still use Mzee. We can still call each other that. So.
Trump. I thought it was bad, but at the end of the day, when you look at and I've never voted Republican.
Okay.
But I will this time. But when I started thinking about it, I was like, why did I vote for Biden? First off, I never liked him. Second of all, Trump is the first president that hasn't started a war. And I don't know how many years, like over 50 years, the first president. So I would say 95 to 99% of Americans are tired of us being in wars, being involved in everybody else's business, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And this guy didn't, he was the only one that didn't, you know. And besides, it's not the first time the election was stolen. I believe it was stolen. Al Gore in 2000 was... Yes, Al Gore was definitely stolen. That was like so night and day. It was so obvious.
Mm.
Even in the 1960s, late 50s, Dwight Johnson, he even bragged about it in public that it was stolen. So
okay. Because the 2020, I think, was clear. Like this, Trump lost. Like where do you think that was stolen?
No, it wasn't. There's... I mean, you don't even have to you don't even have to go to the U.S. I mean, you just... go to YouTube. If there's a thing with Trump talking, he'll get millions of views. Go to Biden. He'll be lucky if he'll get 100,000.
Okay. Because that's tricky, because now someone would look at it from the Kenyan perspective, where if Raila was to call a rally right now and he does not pay anyone, it's 0 shillings. And Ruto calls and he does not pay anyone.
I don't think Raila would have the bigger crowd. Kenyan politics. I don't know.
No, that's what I'm telling you. Like Raila would have the bigger crowd.
I know that Ruto is very unpopular. That much I know, because I don't hear anybody supporting Ruto.
And that's what I'm telling you. Like if they called a rally right now, Raila will pull a bigger crowd. But if there's an election, Ruto would win. So that's why I can never use, like the numbers that I see. I don't know. No, I don't know if Ruto will win in 2027. I'm just saying, like, right now, Raila has always been the guy who pulls the biggest crowds without paying and what, and still loses every election. So I'd never judge anything through. But I understand, maybe in America, maybe that works. But I know Americans are really angry. And one of the things that I'm happy that people are angry about is the Middle East conflict. I feel like what's happening there, and for America to just keep supporting it without... saying like you need to stop this, just
but people don't support it. It's always we still, I mean, we got the US, we got the reserve currency of the world through the oil. You control oil, you control the world. Without oil, the economy stops. So if dollars is what, how oil is bought and sold for, do you remain the world power? So that's the reason why the U.S. is always in the Middle East.
So do you think if the world goes green, then it means America's dominance goes down?
One, it can't go green.
Technologically
speaking, it's impossible to produce all the electricity needed for the world population. When you do the math, it's...
Okay.
It's just BS. But even if that was the case, the big companies like Shell, Mobil, all those big companies would first get control, monopoly of the green energy.
Yeah.
And then let things happen. They would not let, you know, their... all their money got waste.
I've never looked at it from that the point of that if we were to go green, then a lot of companies would really struggle.
If it was really sustainable, they would first make sure they had the monopolies in the green energy, then let go of the gas. They wouldn't just let it happen. They got too much clout. Too much clout.
Okay.
In the banking system. If you know anything about stocks, when price of oil goes up, the banking sector goes up. It goes up almost always. If you know the price of oil is going up per barrel, the banking sector goes up. Why? Because the banks have so much invested. They own a big portion of all the oil companies. So, and the big banks, the U.S. dollar is controlled by the largest banks, American banks. It's not it's not owned by the government. So they own not only the oil, they own the reserve currency of the world, the US dollar. It's not government. It's not a government issued note. The only thing that's issued by the US government are the coins. That's it.
Oh, okay.
So what are you gonna do? Carry around $1 million of 50 cents, 25 cents.
Yeah.
So you're saying that the banks control the notes?
Yes.
And the government controls the coins?
Correct.
Yeah. So what do you mean by that?
Well, the big banks essentially control, whoever controls the big banks controls the world, essentially.
Yeah, yes. Okay.
Because you could print as many dollars as you want. Because it doesn't have to be backed up by anything. Other currencies don't have that luxury.
Yeah, okay.
You got to remember you have the U.S. military backing up the U.S. dollar. You have about 600 bases. I will check myself, 600 bases around the world to make sure that there's no pirates. So it sounds like a good reason for everybody. It is. But it's also a selfish reason to make sure that, you know, American interests are intact.
Okay, that makes sense. So BRICS, do you think that can threaten the dollar in any way?
That will make World War III if presidents don't disappear.
Okay.
I mean, Gaddafi got people. At the end of the day, Gaddafi, the U.S. went to Libya because he was creating, and he had already stashed a lot of gold to back up
the African currency.
Exactly that. Because who is going to want a U.S. dollar or a euro, which is backed up by nothing, as opposed to having a bank note, a currency that is backed up by gold? Where you could go to the bank and be like, I want some gold. A dollar, you can't do that. You can't do that with a euro.
Yeah.
That would completely threaten the U.S. dollar and the U.S., the West's position in the world.
Okay. So you
expect that's the real reason why the U.S. went into Libya. And I hate to say this because you're Luo on top of it, but it was the Obama administration that did that.
I don't care about Obama that way. Like, I don't know him like that. You understand? Like, it does. But I remember, yes, it was the Obama administration. And Libya has never gone back to what it was. And I'd even say Africans suffered more, because afterwards it's when like Libyans started enslaving Africans who were trying to cross to Europe through Libya. So it's been really bad since Gaddafi died. So I understand. And why did you decide to come to Kenya? Or why did you decide to live in another place apart from the US, that is?
Since I would say the dot-com bubble, which was in 2000.
Yeah.
I've seen the U.S. just deteriorate year after year, getting worse. And so I just left. And
what do you mean by deteriorate? Like what is it you don't like?
Getting jobs, everything. Before, it was so easy. Like, I remember as a kid, you would see, you know, the airlines, you would go on a flight, the airlines, the knives and the forks, everything was made out of cloth and metal.
Yeah.
They wouldn't give you paper towels. And people would take the forks and the knives. And it would say TWA, which now is bankrupt for over 20 years.
Yeah.
It was the biggest airline for decades. And you would see on the streets like forks, knives made out of metal, and people wouldn't use it. That's how rich America was.
Yeah.
Simply because this had TWA on it. And they would feel embarrassed that they're using an airplane, airline utensil.
Oh, because that used
perfectly
to be
fine metal, no plastic.
No, like,
and you would see it, people would throw it out.
Now, the interesting thing about this is, like, in the earlier podcast, when we were starting the podcast, I'd give people like my family history, and part of my family history is my mom used to sell those airplane spoons, because the same thing would happen in Kenya, where now when planes landed in Kenya, I don't know if it's the staff, hotel staff would just go and take the spoons out. So you'd find all these spoons like Lufthansa, KLM, and they'd had all funny shapes, like this had funny shape, and they'd be sold. And here it was, they're like, people loved them because, you know, they looked different. So it was not just a normal spoon. You'd find like funny shapes and what. So it's interesting to see that in America, people looked down upon that. So yeah, it's interesting, like the cultural Yeah. Okay. Okay. So this is in the 90s, yes?
80s, 90s, you no longer saw that. 90s was probably like the last good decade. And I see a lot of immigrants coming and suffering. One thing I've noticed is that a lot of, depending on the culture, a lot of cultures, they feel ashamed to go back.
Yeah.
Even if they're in a worse position in the US because of the stigma of going back home.
Yeah. And you never made
it. For example, I'm sure there's a lot of Kenyans that are in the US, not making it, barely making ends meet, sharing rooms with other people, just surviving. I mean, surviving and living a miserable life, but they refuse to come back to the motherland because of the embarrassment.
Yeah.
And it's not only Kenyans, it's a lot of nationalities that, that have that stigma. So they just stick around. I feel really bad for them. And before that, you know, when I was growing up, you know, people that didn't have a job were the ones that didn't want to work. That's it. Plain and simple. You could walk into a McDonald's, you could get a job that same day. And so there were so many jobs. Now there's nothing. There were so many factories, everything. You know, when I was a kid, you would see it was not made in China. It was either made Japan, Taiwan, USA. That's what you would see all the time. Then it went down Japan and USA. It was still Taiwan, Hong Kong, and then it went into China. But when I was growing up, it was those three countries, Japan, Taiwan, and USA. Most, like 90% of everything in the world was manufactured there. There were so many factories, it was like daunting. Those are the good jobs, the ones, the factories, not service jobs, working at a restaurant, those don't pay. And even me as a chemical engineer, New Jersey was the pharmaceutical capital of the world. It was up until the 90s, the Alp region, France, Switzerland, that area. Then New Jersey took over. And then all the manufacturing jobs left because from, you know, the research, it's almost all done by chemical engineers and chemists.
Yeah.
For drugs. People think it's doctors. No, that, I've worked in a pharmaceutical company with 5,000 employees. There wasn't a single doctor. It was all chemical engineers doing the research, most of it.
Yeah.
And then all the manufacturing jobs went. Then just the research facilities remained. And now, not even that. And
all the research facilities have left?
Yes, because it's much cheaper taking it, shipping it to another country like India, China, Eastern Europe, stuff like that. So even penicillin, the most basic, the first antibiotic, the most basic antibiotic, last time I checked, at least 2021, maybe because people started complaining, maybe there is a factory, but there was not even a single factory that made penicillin. What happens if there's a war?
Yeah.
So,
okay.
That's how bad it's gotten.
So on the streets, the homeless people,
The homeless rate has never been as high in U.S. history as it is now. Okay. Never.
But still, now the converse to this whole story is America still has enough money to fund wars.
Exactly.
So why not solve its own problems?
America can fund anything because it got the world reserve currency. So they can print out as many dollars as they want.
Yes.
They don't have to answer to nobody.
Yes.
Kenya, for example, has to. You can't just print Kenya, keep on printing Chile, because the shilling will devalue. But there's always demands for dollars. So America's biggest export is inflation in all reality. Because every dollar we print, we're putting a burden on the entire world. Because you print out $1, it takes out a bit of value from all the other dollars circulating every time we print a dollar. So every time we print a dollar and our representatives, I don't know who they're representing, they're not representing the American people, because I could guarantee you 99% of people are not for the Ukraine war, they're not for any war, they're not, I would say most people are not for Israel. But every time our representatives approve a package to print X amount of billions of dollars, it's not just us that it's affecting as taxpayers. Yeah. It's everybody around the world, you too included, because it devalues the value of the dollar. And by doing so, then they're forced to increase the rates, the central bank. And when they increase the rates, that's why the dollar kept on rising. It wasn't only a Kenyan issue. It was a United States. The central bank kept on raising the rates, which means then that the central bank of Kenya, whatever central bank Kenya needs dollars, when it borrows dollars, then they have to borrow at a higher higher interest rate.
Yeah.
And that's an indirect tax on you by their dumb bills. So basically the entire world, it's not just our tax money, even though since we make more, we have a big chunk that we're paying funding for it. But the entire world is funding these wars. It's not just the American people. Keep note of that.
Okay. But now I remember, like you said, Trump is the first president not to start a war.
Yeah.
But now,
in over 50 years.
Yes. If this Middle East problem continues, don't you think Trump will also continue funding it? Because, see, there's that rule.
Well, there's a difference between, I never said he stopped anything, but he never started anything that was already there. The problem with Trump, the good thing about Trump is that he was never a politician. He's always had that lifestyle where he told people what to do, not being told what to do.
Yeah.
And when you don't do what big banks, the Federal Reserve tells you, which is the Central Bank of the United States, you die or you don't win elections.
Yeah.
And people forget, even in the U.S., but the John F. Kennedy, the guy assassinated, he wanted to take back the Federal Reserve back to government's possession. And people, they keep on putting these movies. You just follow the money. That's so basic in any country, I think. Just follow the money. You take away the power from those.
Okay.
So I don't know if he would. I don't know, but it would be better than seeing a president shaking ghosts. I don't know if you've seen Biden.
Yeah, I know.
He's nobody. Like, it's an embarrassment for the country.
Yeah. People saying he has. It's early onset dementia, like he's already
early.
I don't know, man. So he has that. So so when you left the US, which country were you thinking of, like, and how did you leave? Like, did you just pack your bags and you're like, wherever I land, that's where I'm going to try and see if I can start a life there?
Well, I got an apartment on the beach in southern Portugal.
Yeah.
But the problem is Europe is, the whole world is an aging population, even Africa. But Europe is the worst, and you see a lot of old people. So it got boring, even though it's a beautiful country. I would go to France and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then I was about to go back to the U.S., and somebody told me, oh, try Cape Verde. So I liked it. I stayed there. But at the end of the day, it's an archipelago of 14 islands. And, you know, even though I don't buy almost anything here in Kenya that's a real, like, brand name, I have one pair of Nikes that I bought here and I regret it. But at least I have the option.
Yes.
Even though it's super expensive. I could buy them for half the price or less in the U.S. The same pair of Nikes that I bought here in Westgate at the Nike store. Westgate Mall.
Westgate Mall. Okay.
They have a Nike store there. But at least you have the option. You have the option of buying GoPros. But, you know, even though they're more expensive, but you have the option. You don't have to leave. Cape Verde, you have to leave. There's no... It's a country with 650,000 people. There's not enough people to have a demand to make a Nike store. Right?
Yeah.
So you would have to leave to buy anything. So
yeah,
I was like, I'm done with that. So then I did a lot of research, a lot. And it was then Kenya decided to be double vaccinated. I tried taking one vaccine afterwards. I was like, I'm not doing a second vaccine, no way.
Yeah.
As much as I'm interested about Kenya, I'm not taking a second one.
Which one did you take? The first one you took was AstraZeneca, Moderna?
No, Pfizer.
Oh, okay, okay.
So,
okay.
By the way, those are not really vaccines. If I was to tell myself 20 years ago when I was doing research, doing drugs, that X, Y, and Z was going to happen during COVID, I wouldn't believe it. Like, the approval process is like, it's so illegal the way things happen. It's unreal. But anyway, so I was stuck between Kenya and Brazil. And what the tipping point, if the crime rate in Brazil was lower, I would have been in Brazil. It was the crime rate that really bothered me, because I'm like, why am I going to go to the ghetto to go to favelas or be around favelas and be always, you know, keeping like guard? I want to relax, you know what I mean? I'm tired of this ghetto nonsense. So that was the main, otherwise I would have been in Brazil if it wasn't for the crime rate. So I was really 50-50. Then I asked my friend who's of Egyptian descendants. He was born in the U.S., but his parents are Egyptian. And I don't think he was being biased, because Egypt is in Africa. But I was like, you, I'm really stuck, because I stayed. Then it, what happened was, Kenya lifted the two vaccination rule. So then I was like, all right, now it's open doors. Let me see. So then I was stuck for 2 weeks, like really, really stuck, because Brazil had its pros, Kenya has had its pros, had its cons. I did a lot of research, and I also read comments. That's very important. Comments from Kenyans, comments from Brazilians. Well, Brazilians, I really didn't need to, because I have a lot of family in Brazil, so all I have to do is make a phone call. I really didn't do the comment thing, but comments, that's the key. Not what just people say on video. The comments tell you more of the truth, because people that you're not on video, it's somebody behind, they could just write whatever they feel like it. So I read a lot of comments. I would say hundreds, if not over 1,000 comments on YouTube alone. You know, when I did research in Kenya, I did research in East Africa, and then I narrowed it down to Kenya. Then I was stuck between Kenya and Brazil. And so then I asked one of my best friends, and I was like, Kenya or Brazil? Because I'm really stuck. So you just make the decision. I'm tired of thinking about it. He was like, Kenya. I was like, you sure? I was kind of shocked, because most people in the US would say Brazil. I was like, but you know, in Brazil, I would have way more opportunities. He was like, yeah, but opportunities come anywhere you go. It's what you make out of them.
Yeah.
So I was like, all right, well, I'll go to Kenya. So then I packed up two bags and I came.
Okay.
And I was like, if I like it, I'll renew my visa. And then I liked it. So I went to Tanzania for a week and a half. Because I can't stay more than 6 months.
Yeah. When you came to Kenya, where did you stay?
In Nyali.
Nyali. Okay. Okay.
Mombasa.
So in a hotel, or where did you go? No.
First, I came in Nairobi. I stayed here a week. And it was everything as I expected, because I had done a lot of research.
Yeah.
And so I was like, all right, I'm going to go to Mombasa. So it was pretty much everything as I expected. Because I did a lot of research, a lot of YouTube videos, a lot of reading, a lot, not just blindly, oh, let me go to Kenya. And I liked it. It was what I expected. So, yeah, so that's how I ended up in Kenya. That's how I ended up staying.
Oh, so Nyali, I was asking, like, where you're staying. You just rented a house?
Yeah, I stayed maybe like a week at an Airbnb, and then I found an apartment, a furnished apartment.
Okay, so now after 6 months you have to go to Tanzania, then come back, or what happened?
Yeah, I went to Tanzania for a week and a half, because you know I can't stay for more than 6 months. Then I came back, and then I stayed for 3 more months, I think. And I went to the US for a month. Then I came back.
Okay, so right now you're based in Nairobi or Mombasa still?
I'm in Mombasa, but you know, Nairobi offers more opportunities in terms of social media, content creation for YouTube than Mombasa.
Okay. Why?
So
why
I'm considering, I'm considering actually moving to Nairobi.
Why do you say that?
Because, like I said, there's more opportunities for content creation
No, that's what I'm asking.
For me to meet, I don't think there's anybody doing anything that you're doing in Mombasa.
Okay, podcasting, like for and example.
I would like to do it, but who's going to help me? Where am I going to find the help in Mombasa to do? Help me.
Mm.
Right? That's the problem. And where would I get all? Would I get enough guests?
Yeah, that would be a problem. Yes,
right.
Because we are all in Nairobi,
like big time. I mean, there's a few big names in TikTok and social media in Mombasa, but if you gather all of them from Diani to Malindi and all in between, that's not as many as here in Nairobi. So even if I wanted to start something like this, which I have a lot of equipment back in Mombasa, I have my own YouTube studio, but I still haven't decided to be serious because I'm still not.
Yeah,
my YouTube channel is all over the place. So yeah.
Oh, okay.
So, but Nairobi would be good for that.
So, how has Kenya been like so far?
Good. Otherwise, I wouldn't be here.
Yeah, because I remember you did this video of why Kenya sucks, and it was an interesting video because
it was the irony. Title it was to pull people in. Like
yes.
Yeah.
So the title, but one of the things that you talked about was corruption at the end. Like I think it's the only negative thing that you mentioned. So corruption, like your experience, what happened? Someone tried to
That was the one thing that two things that did caught me by surprise, and this may seem funny, but seeing on the walls land not for sale.
yeah.
I'm like, why would you post that it's not for sale? Just don't post it. And then people explain, I'm like, wow, that means it's really there's a lot of corruption if people actually have to do that. I've never seen that in other countries.
Oh yeah. Oh, land not for sale. Yes. Okay. Yeah,
because I think do that when it says for sale. I've never seen land not for sale.
Yeah, we do that so that con men can't, because the con men will show you the land. Like, I'm selling you this. So if you're still seeing land not for sale, call this number.
Yeah.
And at least it makes you stay away. Yeah. Okay. That's interesting.
And the corruption with the police. I didn't think it would be.
You've had a run in?
Not just police, but government employees. I mean, there's corruption everywhere. There's corruption in the U.S. big time, but you don't see it at the ground level. Yeah. You don't see the regular police officers, the regular social workers, not even the lieutenants of a precinct, of a police station. If it's usually the politicians and up there. And even then, it's very secretively and it's very roundabout. It's not like direct. It'll be like, oh, pass this law and you will tell you when we purposely get the price down of the stock. You can buy a bunch and then you can sell it a week later. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. Okay. So with the content creation thing, what's your vision with that? Because now I've heard you talk about opportunities in Nairobi that are not in Mombasa.
I could get way more interviews. If I want to.
Okay. Makes sense.
In Nairobi. But Mombasa, it's different.
Yeah, Mombasa, it's different. Okay. So, Joey, man, thank you. I'll be going to your land as you stay back here. But now the problem for us is normally the point of entry, because there's a lot of, I'll say, bullshit where they assume you're coming to stay and you have to prove you're not coming to stay.
Right.
So I just hope that's going to go smoothly. But apart from that, I'm looking forward to that trip. I'm going to be there for 3 weeks, also trying to do the same thing that you're doing, still do some content on the go, but mostly with Kenyans, just meet with Kenyans and have the Kenyan American experience, if that exists. Understand? Yeah, but it's good seeing you, and continue doing your TikTok. I always find them to be super interesting, just walking around. We'll see what happens with that. But and you also gave me a different perspective on the whole American politics and why Trump right now looks like he's coming back, because he's coming back, as things stand.
If he's read the memo that the president is really not in control anymore, I don't think he read the memo the first time he got elected. that he's not the one that runs stuff.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, but yeah, so that was episode 311. So nevile susamaga kama kawaida, like, subscribe, hit the notification button, tell a friend to tell a friend. Tukimalizia 311 tukisema Eko Nene.